Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast He Stutters, She Asks Him, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely downloadable on iTunes. Today, I have the opportunity and privilege to talk with yet another guy who's going to share parts of his story. And this is a guy that is a Facebook friend, and I'm really excited about getting to know him a little bit. So please join me in saying hello to John. Hey, John, how's it going?
Hi. It is going fine here. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's rainy here. It's been kind of like a lazy weekend day for me, but I'm doing well and excited about getting to know about you.
Well, thank you. I live in Southwest Ohio, and so the weather seems to change pretty often. It was a nice cool day. But now it looks like it is about to rain. So, you know, weird weather here.
Yeah, I think it's been weird weather all over the place lately for the last couple of months.
Yes. Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So before we get started formally, I just want to comment. I heard you say, "Ooh, sorry," there for a second. You don't have to apologize for anything on this show. All right.
Yeah.
It's you know, we're going to be talking about stuttering. So if you stutter and get stuck on a word, there's no need for apologizing. Deal?
Okay, deal. Yeah.
So, if you wouldn't mind, could you formally introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy.
Okay. My name is John Bombach. And I am 50 years old, and I live in Kettering, Ohio, and I'm married with one son and two dogs, and I work as a journalist, which is. It is kind of a unique field for a person who stutters, but the way that I got involved in it is that when I was in grade school, I would stutter on every syllable. It was horrible, and so I would sometimes have to. I'd sometimes have to jot down notes just to get my point across, and I think it was my fifth grade class. We went on a field trip to a local newspaper, and I just got to thinking, well, I can convey my thoughts pretty well on paper. Maybe that's something that I could try, and so as a sixth grader, I helped to form my elementary school's student newspaper, and I've been pretty much writing ever since. I have been a sports writer for the past 19 years, and I just recently took over a beat as an education reporter. So that has been a huge change for me, but it has has been an exciting one too. So.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, it sounds. I've got a number of questions that I want to definitely ask, but I also want to acknowledge that I just heard your dog saying hello. One of them.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No. It's okay. That's what happens when we chat with each other. We sometimes hear, you know, other people or other, you know, other beings in the background. So that's fine.
Anything that walks on our sidewalk is they are fair game to be barked at. So,
what's your dog's names?
I have a chocolate Labrador whose name is McKenna.
Oh,
and then we have an Australian Kelpie whose name is Jada.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So you've been in journalism pretty much ever since fifth and sixth grade when you realized that you could express yourself well with writing. That's what I'm hearing, right?
Right. Yes.
Did you find it like that? It was kind of like an escape route, sort of.
Yeah, as far as the writing part of it, yes. I don't think I had completely thought through the whole idea, though, because I do a lot of interviewing, and that can sometimes be difficult.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. When you said that, you know, you've been in journalism for a number of years, and now you just took over a gig as a reporter, my right. understanding of a reporter means that you are talking and interviewing people, right?
Right, yes. Well, I was doing interviews when I covered sports too. So, and I've had several rather bizarre things happen while I was doing interviews. As you probably know, former Senator Glenn's wife, Annie, I believe that she stutters.
Yeah. Yep.
And I was a student at Ohio State University, and as part of our journalism curriculum, we had to work phone shifts. Well, I had to call Senator Glenn to verify some information. And I thought that I'd be talking to one of his aides. And so I was pretty relaxed at first. And Senator Glenn picked up the phone. And if I'm nervous, I stutter really badly. And I was stuttering really badly, and he thought I was making fun of his wife.
Oh no!
and so he hung up on me.
Oh no!
Yes, and so I hope you don't mind my saying this, but there are two instances when I don't stutter. One is if I have been drinking too much, and the other is if I'm very mad. And so I called him back up and I said, "Listen, I stutter. I need to ask these questions. Don't hang up on me." And he was very apologetic and he was very, very receptive to the different questions that I had, and it worked out fine. But I mean, I've had several different people who mistake my stuttering as a sign of not being sure of myself, or or of being scared of that person. I had a Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker lunge at me like he was going to tackle me.
Oh my goodness.
Because he thought I was afraid of him, and he basically had me backed up against the lockers, and I got mad there too, and I told him, you know, hey, I'm not afraid of you. I stutter, and I've got questions to ask, and he felt bad too, and I wound up getting a good interview from him. So, I mean,
those are such good stories that I'm sure, you know, I'm sure people that don't even have the thrill of interviewing famous people can relate to, because you're absolutely right. Very often we're misunderstood because people don't understand what stuttering is, so they make assumptions about us, and that can be very, very frustrating, as you've definitely just pointed out.
Yeah.
How do you usually handle it when you go into a situation or you're going to be meeting somebody for the first time, you know, in a professional setting? Do you advertise that you stutter?
I don't at first, but if I sense that my stuttering is making the interviewee a little bit uncomfortable, I will then acknowledge it, and I usually kind of break the ice and lighten the mood by letting them know that I have never stuttered at a keyboard once, and that usually makes them laugh, and it makes both of us feel comfortable, and then we just go on, you know. But probably the toughest interview I ever had, though, it had there's something going on in the living room. I don't know. Sorry.
I heard it.
I was interviewing a Japanese race car driver. His name was Hiro Matsushita, and he was racing in the IndyCar series, and we were doing the interview right next to his mechanics who were tuning his car, and so you have the mechanics revving the engine, tuning that. And so there were several instances that we couldn't hear each other. And then you have the language barrier. He couldn't speak the language very well, and I couldn't speak the language very well. So, I mean, it was very difficult, but there were a few times during that interview that we just wound up resorting to a very crude sign language just to get just to get both of our points across. So that was fun.
Have you ever had anybody make fun of you because of your stuttering?
Yes. And I think it is just because, well, and it is especially with like younger people who maybe haven't talked to somebody who stutters before. And their first reaction is to laugh at me and or to mutter something to the person next to him or something. I mean, you know, and those are my toughest times. I usually try to explain to them that I'm merely stuttering, and I think by bringing it out into the open, it usually helps. But you will always get those certain few who always, no matter what you say to them, they have already formed their opinion of you. So, you know, I mean, you just have to kind of force yourself to remain very professional and to get through the interview and to thank them afterwards, and then think mean thoughts about them afterwards.
You definitely sound like you have a great sense of humor, and that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and that, and it sounds like perhaps humor has helped you in maybe managing your stuttering over the years.
I think so. Yeah. When you think of all the horrible things that would happen to you that are out there, I mean, stuttering's not that bad, you know, and I tried to look at it that, you know, nobody's really perfect, and stuttering is just something that is my personal challenge, you know, and.
Yeah. Yep. Very, very healthy attitude to have about that. I too have had to learn over the years to not take myself so seriously or not take it so personally when somebody laughs or rolls their eyes or something, because you know it still happens. I you know, as an adult, I often find myself wishing that, God, you know, why is that still happening when I'm an adult? But yeah. You know, obviously the problem is that so many people don't understand stuttering, and many times we're the first person that they've ever encountered that stutter, so they just don't know how to react.
Yeah.
But I can remember, you know, many times, and even recently, you know, I've had somebody laugh or give the look. I'm sure you know what the look is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to, you know, get tears in my eyes and you know, get really angry that somebody was making fun of me or dismissing me. And, you know, when I get angry, you know, I would cry, you know, and I've at least worked my way through to, you know, try not to take it so personally, because I don't think that people mean it maliciously or intentionally. They just don't know.
Right. I think that when somebody laughs, it's because they don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never had to react to it before. So, I mean, laughing that off is a way for them to be comfortable, but I don't think they realize the consequences that it has on the person who's trying to speak, you know?
Exactly. And I think that's one of the things that makes stuttering so emotionally complex for us, because we tend to, well, at least in my case, I tend to internalize things, and, you know, people don't realize that we're doing that, you know, and I think that's where some of our baggage comes into play.
Right. Yeah.
Can I please?
Mm-hmm. Sure. that was my son Drew. He wants to play a video game that I have on my phone.
How old is Drew?
Drew is 11.
And yeah. Just since I heard him and since you brought him up, what does he think of his dad's stuttering?
I think just because he's always heard it, that it doesn't really, I mean, it doesn't really bother him. It has always been a part of his life, and I think he's learned how to be patient for those times that I do have troubles. And I really don't stutter that much around him. I mean, I think just because he's family and for whatever reason, I don't stutter as much when I'm talking to people who I live with. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you and he ever talked about it though? Have you ever like explained to him what stuttering is and what's going on with it, or it's just never really come up?
It never has come up, really. I mean, I haven't really had to explain it to his friends either. And I was really self-conscious about that, because I thought for sure that they'd say something, but and they may say something to each other, but I've never had to explain myself. So I mean, so far so good.
Yeah. That's good. Just wait until they become teenagers. It might change then, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Drew is only 11, but he sometimes acts like a teenager now, so I mean, I can hardly wait. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it seems like these days kids are growing up so much faster maybe than we did, because of, you know, all that they're dealing with, and you know, the world is just a different place for them than it was for us, I think. And
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your co-workers? You know, how is it with, you know, people that you work with as far as your stuttering? Does it ever come up? Does it ever get in the way?
It hasn't. And I think it is because, like family, and I consider myself a mild stutterer now. I used to stutter, you know, horribly bad in high school and during college. And I think for the most part, I don't stutter. And they've come to know me after 19 years, and they realize what's going on. And I mean, we are really kind of like we're kind of like an extended family. So we realize that we all have our little things that make us a little bit different, and we have kind of grown to accept it, you know. So I mean, I think I've been very fortunate in that respect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you? You said that you stuttered more pronouncedly in high school and in college. Did you ever have anybody in college, like a professor, try to steer you away from your career path because of your stuttering?
I had one journalism professor had told me that, you know, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, and I think that that person having doubts just made me want to try harder, just to prove him wrong. And I have found that I am slowly developing as a pretty solid interviewer too, and I think I have really worked on doing that, just because that one professor had some doubts in me, and I don't know if that's because I'm a little bit hard-headed, but that made me really want to prove to him that I could do it, you know. And I still talk to that professor now. So I think he may have had some doubts, but I think he was probably trying to push me too. So, and that was something that I had to face up to, that, you know, is a journalism career where you have to talk all the time really something that I can do? And I probably take a little bit longer to do the interview, but I can write the story just as well. So, I mean, that works out.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any speech therapy?
Well, yes, and I have. I did some speech therapy in elementary school, and I did some speech therapy at a hospital in the Columbus, Ohio area, and it's really weird that for whatever reason if I focus on what I have to do and the easy onset and the slow rate of speech, and if I'm talking about stuttering like I'm doing now, and if I am, especially if I'm in a speech therapy office, I don't stutter. It just doesn't happen. But if I'm out in the public, though, and I try to use those very same rules to speak, I have all sorts of difficulties, you know. And I'm, I moved to the Dayton, Ohio area, and I had the opportunity to to take roughly 6 months of speech therapy, and my therapist then really kind of broke the ice that led to me being more comfortable as somebody who speaks in public, and she had told me, John, people want to hear what you have to say. And before then, I had never really thought of it that way. I had always thought that they were staring at me because they couldn't figure out why I was having all these different facial contortions and there was nothing coming out. But they were looking at me because they wanted to hear what I had to say. And it, I don't know why that her saying that really helped, but it gave me more of a purpose for talking. I'm trying to talk to this person and they are looking at me because they want to hear what I have to say. And that's made a world of difference. I mean, I really can't explain that.
It would have been cool if you had known that and believed that as a kid, huh?
It really would have.
Yeah. I kind of believed the same thing about myself for many years, that, you know, stuttering made me, you know, less competent than others, and why would anybody, you know, want to, you know, listen to what I had to say because I couldn't talk right, you know, and I too had to, you know, come to terms with, it's who I am. And it's okay, and you know how I present myself to the world just happens to be, you know, different and unique than other people, and actually that's what makes me special. I just couldn't, you know, I couldn't internalize that as a young person because. Right. I think part of it also is because we didn't have all the resources and all the support that we have today.
Right.
You know. Yeah, but so it sounds like you've been on a real journey with your own stuttering, and that that if I'm hearing you correctly, that you're kind of at a good place with it now in your life.
Yeah. I would like to sometime maybe try like these week-long intensive therapy programs that you see, but I'm a little bit leery because right now I have I really feel that the harder that I try, the worse that my speech gets, and so now I just kind of, if I feel that I'm going to have troubles, I just kind of think through it, and I remind myself to try to slow down, and I'm not, I'm no longer embarrassed of it, and I think that was a major hurdle. You know, so, mm-hmm. I really do feel comfortable now. Yes.
Awesome. And is this the first time that you've ever been in interviewed about your stuttering?
I was interviewed for a newspaper article once in the Columbus Dispatch, and that was because they were working on this. It was kind of an auditory feedback device.
Okay.
And at the time a bunch of retired engineers that worked at the Ohio Bell telephone company, they developed this. I mean, it was a huge, like a briefcase-sized auditory feedback device, and I was one of the first people who they had try it. And have you heard of the? Have you used an auditory feedback device?
I haven't. I participated with somebody that was piloting something similar a few years back. A professor was trying to see if they could make one simply and cost effectively using an iPod. But no, I haven't ever actually used one, no.
Yeah, well, the story was about how much that my speech had improved when I used the auditory feedback device. What it does is if you talk at a slow enough rate, you don't hear an echo in your headphones. And so you're talking really slow, but you're not stuttering. And so the newspaper article, I was trying to explain to the reporter, how that worked, you know, and, now it's like some 30 years later and you can get an auditory feedback device that would fit in your ear. So, you no longer have to carry a separate briefcase with you. So,
mm-hmm.
Big difference.
So, why don't you use one so that you don't stutter?
Because I'm cheap. they cost like $4,000, and I could see it if I had if I was still stuttering on every syllable, but I would feel guilty spending that much money just on me and not my family. So, I just made the decision that that wasn't something that would work out for me. So,
see, I wasn't expecting you to say because I'm cheap. I was expecting you to say because I'm okay with who I am and how I sound and
yeah. Well, that part too. But the cost of it, had a lot to do with the decision too. So mm-hmm. yeah. You there?
Yep.
Okay. I am still much more comfortable with the way that I speak, though. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was one of those moments where I wasn't sure if you were blocking.
Oh,
or
yeah.
What? Or, so, yeah, one of those awkward stuttering moments. But yeah. I want to just ask one more question, and then we're going to have to wind down, because as always, when I have these conversations with people, it seems like the time just flies.
Sure. Yeah.
But, supposing money wasn't an object, and supposing that, somebody just gave you one of those delayed auditory feedback machines, would you use it every day to be fluent?
I was able to take one out for a test run.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that if I was in a quiet room, it worked really well. And if I were always in a quiet room, I would definitely get one. But if you are outside or like I was out covering noisy sports events, and all that sound that echoes in your earpiece, and that actually made it harder to talk.
Mm.
I mean, just because you heard all that feedback and you were finding yourself trying to talk over it. You know, instead, I took what I learned from using that, and I've kind of, I try to use that when I am still talking now, and I remind myself to try to talk slower, to keep an even rate. But I know that I'm not perfect, but I know that I have what it takes to get through the conversation and to hold a conversation with non-stuttering people, and for them not to feel uncomfortable. So, I mean, and so that works for me.
And that sounds like a terrific way to wrap up a really great conversation. And it has been a real pleasure getting to know you a little bit. Thanks for being so honest and sharing parts of your story.
Sure. Yes. Well, I am very flattered that you would have me on to do an interview. So it's usually myself doing the interview. So this has been a pleasure for me too. Thank you.
How did I do, by the way?
Very well. a good start and a nice finish. So yeah. A plus.
Thank you again very much. And this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.